Hello, this is Liliana.
I'm Danaya.
And I'm Badila.
And we're from Perfect 10 After School,
a wonderful club for girls in Hudson, New York.
And you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA.
Community radio for Columbia and Greene counties.
Perfect 10 girls got it going on.
Oh, yeah.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will hear from Barbara Heinzen of the Queeman's Clean Air Coalition. She'll talk about the impact in southern Albany County and in northern Greene County of the Low Embodied Carbon Concrete Leadership Act, which Governor Kathy Hochul has until December 19th to sign if it's going to become a law. It would regulate concrete. Some environmentalists say it's good. Some environmentalists say it would allow the Lafarge Holcim plant in Queeman's in southern Albany County to burn tires in their kiln. We'll hear all about it this hour on the WGXC Morning Show, plus national headlines from the Public News Service and local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
News. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Rodney Shop in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Roger Hannigan-Gilson in the Times Union looks at more of the details in the decision of Columbia County Judge Richard Kowiek to dismiss most of the charges against four Columbia County residents who beat a man nearly to death in the late hours of a July 4th party in Kinderhook in 2019. Columbia County Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Rosenstrock, Alex, her husband, IRS agent Brian Hogg, and Corey Gaylord, a contractor, were indicted on multiple felonies in October 2020 after a grand jury heard evidence in the case. They were indicted on gang assault and other charges, but Coweek dismissed most of those, leaving the defendants each charged with a single felony count of unlawful imprisonment and various misdemeanors. Columbia County District Attorney Paul Chajek said December 13th that he has not decided whether to represent the case to a new grand jury. Quote, "We're considering our options," unquote, he said. Coweek dismissed the gang assault charges because he said the defendant, Harold Handy, was not seriously injured. Handy spent 2.5 days at Albany Medical Center with 2 bones in his face fractured and a large hematoma over his left eye. But the DA's office did not present any medical records or details about an operation to have a plate inserted in his face near the fractures. Other new facts emerged in Coweek's 42-page decision. For instance, Corey Gaylord and Alex Rosenstruck both allegedly fired shots during the party while drunk, but neither has been charged with any form of attempted assault or menacing. Handy was allegedly, quote, restrained and beaten on 3 occasions, unquote, but his wife was not allowed to call 911. But the partygoers did let her use her phone, checking each time what number she called. The 4 defendants now each face a single felony count of unlawful imprisonment and several misdemeanor charges. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Ted Rimsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that as Greene County officials ignore the state's new mask mandate, they announce yet another local death from COVID-19. The 88th COVID-19 death in Greene County was an unidentified man in his mid-70s who had comorbidity issues and was not vaccinated. COVID-19 case counts have been rising locally, and a new variant of the virus is reportedly more easily transmitted. Groden said, and I quote, "All of our positive numbers have been as high as they've been in a year, but the few times when someone who is vaccinated gets positive, the symptoms are very mild. I know a gentleman who didn't get vaxxed, and he wound up in the hospital. So if that's your option, would you rather just have a mild case of the flu with typical flu-like symptoms, or do you want to run the risk of being in the emergency room? I guess I just don't understand why you wouldn't get vaxxed," end quote. Even in the face of mounting cases, Greene County officials have not taken any action to slow the spread besides holding vaccine and testing clinics. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden has gone on record saying the county will not enforce the mask mandate that goes into effect December 13th, saying the county does not have the staffing to do so. Greene County Legislative Chair Patrick Linger said he needs to be explained the science of how masks work to slow transmission. He said, and I quote, "Before we take that step, I'd like some confirmation of the science involved in determining that reverting to this mask mandate slows a spread," end quote. Instead of taking any new action in the face of the rising numbers, county officials are seeing the local results. Groden said, and I quote, "We had 83 people that made COVID testing appointments the other day, December 6. We had 16 of those tests turn positive on us," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Ted Rimsnyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Windham Town officials have chosen to place a 6-month moratorium on commercial solar and wind projects as they work to craft legislation for renewable energy farms. The moratorium is focused exclusively on commercial solar and wind projects, not residential solar panels on residents' homes. The Windham Town Board, December 9th, unanimously approved a local law establishing the moratorium. The ban will remain in effect through June 30th. But we have no guidelines currently, unquote, Windham Town Supervisor Thomas Hoyt said following the meeting. Quote, "With this renewable energy push, I want to be prepared. So if somebody comes with a project for our town, we have the right guidance to say, it's got to have setbacks and there's a plan to decommission it. All that good stuff that has to be in a solar law," unquote. Hoyt noted that no company has approached Windham about creating a large-scale solar or wind farm, but the town wants to make sure it has legislation in place if such a project emerges. Greene County Legislator Larry Gardner said, quote, "We're pausing the process for anyone that wants to come in and do this," unquote. The local law states that Windham, quote, "desires to adopt regulations that govern commercial solar-fueled electric generating facilities and commercial wind-fueled electric generating facilities," unquote. At the public hearing on the moratorium last week, no one spoke for or against the local law, Gardner said. quote, this is a huge for huge projects where people want to buy 5 acres and put down 4 acres of solar panels. There are no renewable energy facilities in the town currently, but the town wants to have guidelines in place if an energy company arrives to pitch one, unquote. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Michelle Del Rey is reporting for the Times Union. Zephyr Teachout has dropped out of the race for attorney general, according to a press release sent out December 12th. Teachout wrote in a statement, and I quote, "Our campaign for New York Attorney General has always been rooted in doing the best for New Yorkers. Attorney General Letitia James is an exceptional leader and dedicated public servant. Given her decision to seek re-election, I will be immediately suspending my own campaign." James had declared her candidacy for governor, but ended that campaign this week to pursue re-election to her post, writing on Twitter, and I quote, "I have come to the conclusion that I must continue my work as Attorney General. There are a number of important investigations and cases that are underway, and I intend to finish the job. I am running for re-election to complete the work New Yorkers elected me to do," end quote. Teachout, a progressive, first ran for AG in 2018 but lost to James, but won the Capital Region in the process. Before that, she ran for governor in 2014. Former Assistant United States Attorney Dan Goldman also called off his campaign Friday in light of James' announcement. Read the full story in the Times Union.
Dan Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper that on December 2nd, public hearing before the Ancrum Planning Board on the pending applications to locate the Star Retreat Center on 156 acres at 2540 State Route 82. The property is owned by PNM Farms, RSG Farms, and SSG Farms. The project drew a full house in person in the town hall meeting room, plus an additional 75 people on Zoom. The proposed retreat center would include the adaptive reuse of an existing residence for a 5-guest room inn and the development of 4 separate cottages or creek houses for overnight accommodations, including 3 separate buildings for associated recreational support uses on the east side of the property. On the west side of the property, the proposed development would include a glamping area with 22 individual camping structures. The inn would also have a restaurant featuring produce from the on-site organic farming operation that would include 2 buildings to support produce processing and equipment storage. Amenities would include massage, horseback riding, swimming, exercise, and art. Project developers have petitioned the town board for a zoning amendment to permit a 13-acre portion of the property to be rezoned from Hamlet Residential to the Agricultural District. Iron Star founder Stacy Shurgin, president of a New York City real estate management and development company, was present and said she had been in Ancrum for 2 years. Quote, "I came for the land," unquote, which she found, quote, "magical and beautiful," unquote. The questions and comments from planning board members varied from a note that an endangered species of cottontail rabbit lives on or near the property, a query about whether the center is going to be a year-round operation when the traffic study presented was done. Residents' comments concern the ability to maintain community character, concerns over increased demands for water and electricity, how the zoning changes would conflict with the town's comprehensive plan, the project's financial viability, the fire company's worries about the development's impact on traffic, emergency access roads and the availability of water for fire suppression, and the questionable choice of developing a resort when affordable housing is so desperately needed. The planning board chose to keep the public hearing open. It will possibly resume in January. Read more about the story in the Columbia paper.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the city of Newburgh wants to celebrate the 1-year anniversary of an attempted takeover of the U.S. government by declaring every January 6th as Civics Day. On January 6th this year, an armed angry mob stormed the U.S. Capitol attempting to stop government officials from declaring Joe Biden president after he won more votes in the election. Several police officers and 1 insurrectionist died in the ensuing battle. Newburgh Mayor Torrance Harvey is also a history teacher, and he proposed the Civics Day idea. He said, and I quote, "This shall be the first day where we, the people, celebrate our tradition gained through decades of struggle, of enabling American citizens to have the right to vote, to have free elections. We know we live in a divided nation, unfortunately, at the current time. We know that everything is weaponized now," end quote. Others already celebrate a National Civics Day on October 27th, the anniversary of when the Federalist Papers were first published in 1787.
Democratic State Senator Brad Holyman might not always like what his neighborhood weekly newspapers write about him, but he recognizes their importance to the community. Quote, they criticize us routinely. They hold our feet to the fire, unquote, he said. Quote, but they are fading, and unless we act now, I'm afraid all these newspapers are going to be out of business in short order, unquote. Holyman and Assemblymember Kerry Warner are backing proposals that would encourage people to subscribe to local media and have those local media organizations hire reporters by creating tax credits. The tax credits would be targeted at small media companies, those that employ fewer than 1,500 people. Local news can help constituents keep up to date on what's happening down the street, but it's really about making sure our citizenry, our residents are informed, unquote, Holyman said. Studies have shown the death of local newspapers and the lack of information about community events and issues has led to a rise in polarization across the country. At the same time, municipalities have measurably suffered when local news dies. Quote, when you don't have local journalists covering local communities, it's easy to lose track of what's happening around the country, unquote, Warner said. Quote, it doesn't feel to me that we are overweighted on national news and underweighted on local information, unquote.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 46 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 24. And on Wednesday, a chance of rain mainly after 4 p.m. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 43 degrees. And a chance of rain on Wednesday night, it will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 40 degrees. And that is your weather update. From WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
You will hear all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Tuesday, December 14th at WGXC, including at 10 a.m. we hear from Catskills' Corey McClaskind with his Forgotten Geek show. Then at 11 a.m., it's time for the Early Electro Mix show, today with tracks from Bernard Herrmann, Joan LaBarbera, Klaus Roeder, and others. At noon, after the local news, it's time for the Overlooked show. Today, Rob Saffer is listening to Threads, Cellos, and Artifacts until 2 p.m., when it's time for the Algorithm as Ritual show, featuring works from Genesis Breyer, P. Arridge, Woody Guthrie, Rabbit, Dale Cornish, Mika Levy, and others. At 3 p.m. on the Radio Art Hour, the pop cut-up collective People Like Us, mostly Becky Bennett, is featured. And at 4 p.m., Randall Martin hosts the WGXC Afternoon Show from Hudson. At 7 p.m., Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees beam in from Rhinebeck and Athens for Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, an hour conversation about the latest in movies locally. Then Andy French has the Crawl Out from the Fallout at 8 p.m., music from around the world and brand new often. And then it's time for the Battlefield Earth Show at 10 p.m. with Dan Seward beaming in from somewhere in Columbia County on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Tune in or turn out Thursday, December 16th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill when the jazz quartet Pacht performs. That is Percy Jones, who's played with Brand X, Brian Eno, and others, Alex Skolnick, who's played with Testament, Trans-Siberian Orchestra and others, Kenny Grohowski, who's played with John Zorn and others, and Tim Motzer, who's played with David Sylvian and others. They'll play their unique jazz music at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill from 8 to 10 p.m., and WGXC will broadcast it live from 8 to 9 p.m. You can hear the whole thing on a webcast at WGXC.org, or tune in the first hour of the broadcast on 90.7 FM. That's Thursday, December 16th, the group Pocked, live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Tune in or turn out. WGXC is broadcasting again live music shows at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And tune in for a live webcast Sunday, December 19th at 7:30 p.m. from the Avalon Lounge for Brian Dewan's annual Christmas show. That's Catskill artist Brian Dewan performing live Sunday, December 19th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill at 7:30 p.m. till 9 and on a live webcast at WGXC.org.
Santa Claus says ho, ho, ho. Father Christmas glowers and frowns. He takes his staff and takes a swing and boldly says, put up your dukes. And then he takes that golden crook and hooks it around Santa's arm.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, December 15th. 26 degrees in New Salem and 30 degrees in Hunter early this morning. Those numbers will go up a bit. A high of 43 is expected at 1 p.m. Shortly afterward, rain will begin to fall, getting stronger after dark as temperatures continue to rise, reaching 47 degrees by dawn tomorrow. Thursday will be dry with a high of 60 degrees and some strong wind gusts. 45 degrees overnight takes us into a dry Friday with a high of 53 degrees. Saturday will be wet, raining all day with a high of 39. On Sunday, things dry out a bit, no rain and a high of 38. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:02 a.m., low tide at 6:25 a.m., high tide again at 12:33 p.m., and low tide again at 7:07 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 39 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:13 a.m. Looking way up, we see an incoming solar wind is due to strike tonight. Minor geomagnetic unrest is expected. Solar wind speed is currently 537 kilometers per second at 11.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible for daytime and fair for nighttime transmissions. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 40. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Laura Kunruther of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. We want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
While some desperately want to rewrite history and sweep the events of January 6 under the rug, the District of Columbia and its residents have chosen to speak truth.
Washington, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine filed a civil lawsuit against the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers for allegedly playing a leading role in the attack at the Capitol. The lawsuit invokes the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871. The U.S. House voted on holding former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows in contempt of Congress for failing to appear before the January 6 Select Committee. Republican Liz Cheney read incriminating texts Meadows received to encourage then-President Donald Trump to stop the attack.
One text Mr. Meadows received said, quote, "We are under siege here at the Capitol."
However, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia and other House Republicans opposed the charge.
It's being held by nothing but a kangaroo court. Congress's job is to make laws, not enforce them.
Meadows' attorney said his client has fully cooperated by providing information while honoring Trump's claims of executive privilege. House Democrats formally objected to GOP Congressman Scott Perry's comments regarding a proposal to create an anti-Muslim bias office. Perry questioned why it doesn't clearly define Islamophobia.
My friends on the other side of the aisle are creating an office in our State Department that will likely spew anti-Semitic hatred and attack Western ideas throughout the world under the farce of protecting Islam.
Perry also implied the bill's sponsor, Ilhan Omar, had ties to a terrorist organization. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer promised after-hours sessions during the holidays unless Republicans start to quickly confirm President Joe Biden's diplomatic nominees.
We've had to file cloture on twice as many nominees at this point in the Biden administration than Republicans had to do under President Trump. Republicans are intentionally throwing sand in the gears of the Senate's confirmation process.
Meanwhile, Democrats Joe Manchin and Bernie Sanders announced they'll oppose FDA nominee Robert Califf over his ties to drug companies. 10 newly elected mayors met with Biden at the White House to discuss the new infrastructure law. Atlanta Mayor-elect Andre Dickens said they also shared their policy goals.
We have the same set of challenges with COVID, with a rising crime and income inequality and the need for affordable housing and, of course, this infrastructure bill.
A federal judge ruled that the Treasury Department could disclose Trump's tax returns to the House Ways and Means Committee, but gave him 14 days to appeal. And New Jersey's ousted state Senate president's now eyeing the governor's mansion. Democrat Steve Sweeney, who was defeated in November by Republican truck driver Ed Durr, told union leaders he will make a run for governor in 4 years. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hi, Andy, hey, yo. Hi, Andy, hey, yo. Hi, Andy, hey, yo. Hi, Andy.
We just heard Umar Kanate with Heya Deo. This is from the indestructible beat of Soweto from 1986. Udukatila Shange Namajaha with Soba Bamba. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This is the Plastic PSA on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. My name is Alexis Goldsmith. Today, we're talking about New York Assembly Bill 2591A, the Low Embodied Carbon Concrete Leadership Act, a.k.a. LECLA. This bill was sent to Governor Hochul's desk on Friday. But the Queenman's Clean Air Coalition, along with their allies, are urging Governor Hochul to veto this bill. We're here with Barbara Heinzen of the Queenman's Clean Air Coalition, along with Sonia Stark, who is an independent filmmaker. Welcome to the show. Barbara, we'll start with you. Can you give our listeners an overview of the Low Embodied Carbon Concrete Leadership Act?
Thank you, Alexis. I'll try. We in the coalition read an early draft of this act, and we were dismayed to see that it is all about the cement and concrete industry trying to define what low carbon concrete is. But their definition does not take into account the high CO2 that comes from making cement. So when people in the Assembly and the Senate voted for this act, they're really voting for the title, which seemed to promise that cement and concrete would be low carbon. However, the bill does not do that. And in the early drafts, it included the comment that the industry would use alternative fuels. And to our mind, that means using garbage to fuel cement plants. And when you start using waste in cement plants, you have a high probability that you'll have toxic air emissions including dioxins and furans, which are not very friendly to either people or the environment. So this bill looks like it's low carbon, but it is actually the cement industry trying to reduce its costs and get a subsidy from the state for doing so. That's what it looks like to us.
Now, this bill passed both of houses of the state legislature and has been backed by environmental groups. What are they missing in this bill?
The bill that came out eventually was one that said it's a procurement bill, for one thing. So the environmental committees have not actually reviewed it. And it's trying to provide incentives for state organizations to use low embodied carbon concrete. But it ignores the contents of the bill, which turns the definition of what this low embodied carbon concrete would be over to a group of industry insiders. There are no environmentalists involved, and there are no experts in air pollution who know the toxicity of using garbage in producing cement, as a fuel in producing cement. So it's a bill that avoids all the critical definitions and says, never mind, we'll just give it to an expert committee. But the expert committee of stakeholders is very limited in who's on that committee. So we have been opposing it because it does not actually represent all the interests and all the points of view that are needed to consider what low carbon concrete might be.
And you are urging Governor Kathy Hochul to veto this bill. This bill was sent to her office on Friday. How long do you have until Governor Hochul makes a decision on the bill? And what happens if she decides not to neither sign nor veto?
That's a question I've been trying to answer, and I don't know the answer to that. I have a vague memory that if she doesn't sign or veto it, it goes through. But I would have to check that. She has to do something by the end of the year. I know that. And we have been asking her to veto it because we think it's a very poorly drafted law. It does not actually achieve its goals of creating low carbon concrete. And it's very, very misleading. People who passed it voted for the name. They did not look at the substance of the law. They had a lot of bills to consider, and this was not one they read very carefully.
Now, going over to either of you, I suppose, what is the Queamans Clean Air Coalition, and can you talk about some of the work that you've done?
Barbara, I think I can chime in here a little bit.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
And this is Sonia.
Yep, this is Sonia or Sonia Stark. I'm the self-employed freelancer for the video production company, a local one. If you don't mind, from my perspective, if I may, I'm just going to back up a year and a half ago. And when we started the CAC, which is short for Clean Air Coalition, right here in Ravenna, Selkirk, Queamans. I live in Selkirk. So I just want to back it up a little and just talk a little bit more about our mission at the CAC. And that is, like Barbara had said, to fight LECLA, but the bigger picture is here to fight the burning of solid waste as fuel at Ravenna's Lafarge Holcim plant, which is the leading cement producer, and it operates right across from the high school. And this plant has been in the news recently, actually, for a possible link to a mysterious dust layer that covered the town a couple weeks ago. But we're also at the CAC, we're also doing what we can to promote awareness of ever-expanding industry at a port in town called the Port of Queamans. It's actually expanding so quickly that, given the chance, it really does appear to be on the cusp of becoming the largest transfer station on the Hudson River. And that's dangerous, as Barbara can tell you, because she happens to live right there on the Hudson River. Waste storage that's so close to watersheds and rivers, they threaten habitats and biodiversity. And just recently, it too was in the news for a large-scale scrap fire that broke out, sending acrid-smelling smoke wafting into nearby neighborhoods. So really, our website and our whole mission is, you know, it's based on volunteer activism that really centers on achieving a cleaner, healthier, and more vibrant, empowered community in Ravenna, Selkirk, and Queamans. So, you know, our organization is not political. It's not rich or poor versus, you know, rich versus poor or Republican versus Democrat. And our volunteer organization is all about the safety of our community. We want to make sure that we emphasize that with everybody. And when I started building it a few last year in April 2020, I actually built it to house a video that I produced, shot and edited called Albany Alert. And just briefly, if you don't mind, it alerted, if you don't mind me talking about a little bit, it alerted 39 legislators in Albany County to the importance of passing the Clean Air Act. And the link was sent to, after it was finished, after I interviewed a few people in the local town, the link was sent to 39 legislators prior to their vote in April of last year. And I'm really not sure how many of them actually saw the video, but the act passed overwhelmingly with a vote of 32-7. That was a wonderful moment for both me and the CAC. And we thought it was a victory for clean air, but then, as Barbara can tell you too, over the course of the next 6 months, it got very complicated. And I've done follow-up videos ever since then, kind of alerting to what a sympathetic town board in Ravenna is doing to support Lafarge's ongoing attempts to burn solid waste. You know, it was originally I had talked about tires, but solid waste includes municipal and industrial and refuse and more than just tires. But anyway, so the town board actually essentially gutted that local clean air law that was passed prior to the County Clean Air Act. And they had, you know, taken the protections away from residents and kind of opened up the doors for the solid waste burning.
Sorry, Sonia, we're running out of time, but you can tell people where they can find the Queeman's Clean Air Coalition and other information on LECLA.
Yeah, so in talking and mentioning LECLA, that is just one of our ongoing efforts to stop the burning or the passage of a law or a bill that could encourage the burning of these alternative fuels that helps with, you know, that actually fights us and our mission. So they can find more at www.cleanairalbanycounty.org. www.cleanairalbanycounty.org.
Hi, this is Barbara Heinzen again. The number to call the governor asking her to veto this bill is 518-474-8390. Call.
And for more information on the cement industry's plans to burn municipal waste, there was a special report by Reuters titled Trash and Burn, Big Brands Stoke Cement Kilns with Plastic Waste as Recycling Falters. Thank you, Sonia and Barbara, for joining the show today. This has been Plastic PSA on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring,
really boring.
It would be about wonderful things. It would be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we're going to hear from Poughkeepsie, Joe McPhee, the legendary saxophonist, free jazz saxophonist. Joe McPhee has a new record out in 2021 with Lassie Murhaug. It's called Harmonia Macrocosmica. And this is one of the tracks called Theatrum Orbis Terram. Joe McPhee from Poughkeepsie on the radio at WGXC.
I'm not going to be able to do that.